Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
One of my favorite interviews this year was about questions. 36 specific questions designed by a psychologist, and they've been known to help people fall in love.
What is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
What do you value most in a friendship?
What is your most treasured memory?
What is your most terrible memory?
If you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly,
would you change anything about the way you're living now?
What does friendship mean to you?
What roles do love and affection play in your life?
How close and warm is your family?
Of all the people in your family, whose death would you find the most disturbing?
How do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
What, if anything, is too serious to be joked about?
When did you last cry in front of another person?
Or by yourself?
If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone,
what would you most regret not having told someone?
Why haven't you told them yet?
Those are some questions, huh? I mean, some of them I haven't even asked myself, let alone anyone else. Imagine asking them on a blind date. 20 years ago, psychologist Arthur Aaron designed those questions for a study on love and intimacy, and he used them in a famous experiment.
A man and a woman, heterosexual, walk into a lab. They answer these 36 questions, and then they stare into each other's eyes without speaking for 4 minutes. One couple who did the study later went on to get married.
Mandy Lynn Catron wrote a column for the New York Times recently called To Fall in Love with Anyone, Do This. It's the story of how 20 years after that experiment, she read about it and then tried it herself one night with a guy she'd just met. And they fell in love, too.
We were at a bar and we were just sort of chatting about relationships. And he was saying, I have this theory that you could fall in love with anyone, you know, assuming you have a certain number of common interests. And then I said, well, actually, you know, someone has tried to make people fall in love in the lab and said, you know, I've always wanted to try it. And he was like, let's do it. And so we did.
Did you feel anything start to shift or change as you were asking these questions?
So the original study is designed to take 90 minutes. We spent probably twice that amount of time talking. And I did feel like I went from not really knowing this person to knowing him quite well over just a few hours. I think it would be hard to really honestly answer the questions and not feel that way.
And did he feel the same way, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
So then what happened? You get all the way through the questions, then what?
The second component of the study is that you stare into each other's eyes for 4 minutes. And he was like, well, like, do you think maybe we should do that too? And I kind of hesitated. So we walked down the street to a bridge because we wanted to go somewhere that wasn't too crowded and did the 4 minute staring in the eyes. It was very uncomfortable.
What was uncomfortable?
It was a good experience. I think you just have to be kind of brave to just look at someone and let someone look at you for that amount of time. I mean, at least the first couple of minutes were pretty uncomfortable.
What changed?
You kind of settle into the experience. You sort of drift out of that sense of like looking into someone's soul or whatever into just sort of being really present in the moment. And I don't know, other people would probably have different experiences, but that was mine.
And then are you guys together now?
We are, yeah.
Do you still stare into each other's eyes?
Occasionally, yeah.
That's Mandy Lynn Catron's story. She wrote it for the New York Times Modern Love column. So what is it about those 36 questions? Arthur Aaron is the social psychologist who came up with them. He's a researcher at UC Berkeley and Stony Brook University, and he studies love and intimacy.
We were trying to create a laboratory procedure to create a feeling of closeness between people, not necessarily romantic closeness. But that's not to say it couldn't support the creation of a romantic feeling.
So you basically took two people who'd never met before, gave them a bunch of questions and watched to see if they got closer over the course of an hour?
Yes, and we kept piloting it till we made sure it did get them closer. And then we did, we and others, there's been hundreds of studies using this procedure now. It works. At the end of this 45 minutes or so of the activity, people report being almost as close, feeling almost as close to this person as the closest person in their life. Now, it doesn't necessarily last, but at that moment, they're feeling an extreme sense of connection.
So what happens after the study participants, these strangers, they come into a room, they ask and answer all these questions, they feel really close, and then what, at the end of the hour, they have to leave? Don't they want to see each other again?
Some of them do, some of them don't. And in fact, when we were doing versions of this with cross-sex heterosexual couples, and we had a little more romantic version of this, we made sure they left separately so they didn't feel any obligation to connect with the person.
So you did one couple, right, in one of the early studies who actually did wind up falling in love and getting married?
We don't know for sure they fell in love, but they did get married, and we presume they fell in love. I don't remember if they actually invited us to the wedding, but they certainly let us know they were getting married. And I actually contacted them a few years ago, and they were still together.
Huh. Well, so the point, it seems to me, is that these are not some magic questions. It's the process of self-revelation, right, and finding out about each other that fosters intimacy and opens the door to falling in love.
It certainly fosters intimacy when it's mutual, and the responsiveness, feeling the other is responsive to you, feeling yourself being responsive to the other person, have a huge effect in creating intimacy. Mm. Now, falling in love, we haven't tested it for that.
You've been fascinated by love for a long time. How and why we fall in love, how we do or don't manage to stay in love. We all know that passion and intense involvement fades. Why is that? Why does passion fade?
Well, let me say first, it doesn't always. We've done some studies with people who've been married 30, 40 years who claim to be very intensely in love. There aren't a lot of them, but there are some. Bianca Acevedo, who was the lead on this study, this was her dissertation study, she told me she interviewed one of the couples, and she could see it, but they were saying to her, we really annoy our friends. These were like 70-year-old people. We really annoy our friends because we're always all over each other physically.
Who are these lucky people? What do they have going on in their brains that the rest of us don't?
Well, we'd like to know. But we do know some factors that definitely increase passionate love in long-term couples. One of them is actually doing those 36 questions with another couple. So if you just recently met another couple and the two couples get together, spend an evening, do those 36 questions, we just published a study a month ago showing that it not only makes you close to the other couple, it makes you closer to your own partner and actually increases the passionate love with your partner.
So double dating actually improves your own relationship?
Yes.
Why would that be?
Two things. One is we have a lot of research evidence that doing anything novel, challenging with your partner reinvigorates a sense of excitement with the partner. And this is an activity that's like that. We've done other studies where we measure this in other ways. So we have people come into the lab and we tie them together at the wrist and ankles and have them go back and forth trying to push something with their head. And we've done studies where people every week do something from a list of things that are exciting. And after 10 weeks, they're more satisfied and more in love.
What's on the list? What are the exciting things?
We were talking about things they could do in one evening or one afternoon, you know, going for a canoe trip. If they've never been to the opera, going to the opera. If they've never been to a horse race, going to a horse race. Doing something different. We've done some recent research suggesting it doesn't have to be something entirely new. It can be what we call a rediscovery activity, something you haven't done in years. My wife and I were walking back from a play in Manhattan to the subway one night, and we, you know, we're somewhat older, and we walked by a bar, and we said, you know, we haven't hung out in a bar in years. Let's go and hang out in a bar for a half hour. It was wonderful.
And why do you think doing something exciting and novel can reignite the spark in a marriage or a partnership?
We associate the process of expanding the self when it's rapid expansion of the self is very has a very rewarding experience. It feels really good. You know, in the early stages of falling in love, there's all that excitement. But then you get used to the partner. So then you do something together that's exciting, And you associate that with the partner.
Hmm.
One of the things that happens when we connect with someone is the other person becomes part of who we are to some extent. So what a relationship does for us is it expands the self in the sense it increases who we feel we are.
So we feel bigger.
We feel bigger. We want to be more than we are.
Arthur Aaron studies love and intimacy at UC Berkeley and Stony Brook University. He also developed those 36 questions. And if you'd like to try them with a friend or a partner or anyone, you'll find the full list and instructions at ttbook.org/questions.